Hello and welcome from Mount Pleasant Baptist Church. This podcast you're about to hear was recorded at our Booragoon campus. So sit back, relax, and enjoy what God has to say to you.
Thank you. Good morning. Here we are. Wow. Now, I remember during the Sydney 2000 Olympics at the opening ceremony, and it was the time when the flame was about to be lifted. Did you remember that? And it got stuck. And they spent millions, and the flame got stuck. It kind of jammed. And, well, this morning is not too bad then, isn't it? If the professionals have technical problems, sometimes we have it. So bear with us. But it is wonderful to be here with you this morning. And welcome to all our online viewers joining us this morning. And also thank you for all of you who've journeyed with us during our 21 days of prayer and fasting, which really concludes today. And I hope that it has been a good experience for you. And I'd like to encourage us all to continue to fix our eyes on Jesus as we follow him and his leading in this next season of our lives as a church and as a community. And it is so exciting that God is doing some incredible things. Our prayer room, for example, at Seeds has been used on a regular basis since we made it available to people. Pastors from different churches in the Millville area come and pray. The young adults from Honeywood, the last three Tuesdays, they've been having prayer and worship time at Seeds Prayer Room. At Thornley Campus, for the last three Sundays, they've had an hour of prayer at 5 o'clock in the afternoon. And so there's a lot of prayer going on. And I tell you, the Spirit of God is moving. Amen? The Spirit of God is moving. I'm going to share a little bit about that as well as I progress into my sermon this morning. Today, I will be speaking to you about at the cross we find forgiveness. As a continuation of our series this month of April. But I want to make this statement that Christianity has this bold and courageous claim that says Jesus died and rose again. And you know, this is such an important claim. In fact, this is central to the Christian faith, that if we cannot boldly and courageously and confidently stand and say, Jesus died and rose again, the Christian faith really is almost questionable, isn't it? But this claim stood through the test of time. It has been tested, it has been tried, it's been contested by so many people, by so many intellectuals, and yet this truth continues to stand to this day. Many atheists, including historians, accept that Jesus of Nazareth was a historical figure who was crucified by the Roman authorities. And this is supported by multiple sources, even outside the Bible. Isn't that incredible? A German atheist and a scholar by the name of Gerd Ludmann said this: Jesus' death on the cross is an indisputable fact. That's from an atheist. So one of the many proofs of the reality and the truth of Jesus' death is really through the presence of witnesses. The more witnesses you have, the more you establish the credibility and the confidence of your case. In the court of law, for example, the testimony of an eyewitness is very important and significant, especially if it is direct testimony. Why? Because eyewitness testimony provides a direct account of events that they've witnessed, offering a first-hand perspective that can be valuable information in understanding what really happened. So to this day, eyewitness testimony plays a significant role in our legal system because they are compelling and often reliable. So according to the Gospels, who were present at the crucifixion of Jesus? And how many people were there? Eyewitnesses. Well, the Bible does not say an exact number. However, what the New Testament tells us, it reveals that there were many people present and saw the execution and the crucifixion of Jesus Christ. Here's some of them. The crowd and the priests and scribes, the women from Galilee, the Roman soldiers and executioners, Simon from Cyrene, John, one of the disciples, curious onlookers, a big crowd that mocked him, crowds who were at the Passover because that was during the time of the Passover. Therefore, Jerusalem was busy. The three Marys and other women, the two thieves on the cross. And of course, after his death, Joseph of Arimathea that offered his tomb, and also Nicodemus. There were so many people who were present and witnessed the execution and the death of Jesus Christ. And this is what Josephus, a first century ancient historian, recorded and have said about Jesus. He said, Jesus was a wise man and a teacher who was believed to be the Messiah and was condemned by the cross by Pontius Pilate. Josephus also notes that Jesus appeared alive again on the third day as the prophets had foretold, and that the Christian sect to this day named after him still exists. That is from an ancient first century historian according to his record. And so if we ask ourselves, is it really true? Did it really happen? Well, let me tell you this morning, yes, it is true, and yes, it did happen. Amen? And that is the hope that we have. And so at the cross, what happened? It is so amazing that when you read the Gospels, a lot of things actually happened at the cross. In fact, some of the things that happened was almost like a fulfillment of some of the teachings of Jesus while he was still alive. So let me just draw to your attention the seven final words of Jesus, because they are worth considering. He uttered seven final phrases and sentences, and it is interesting to note that the first and the seventh was addressed to his father. The first and the seventh was addressed to his father. And as I was reflecting on those seven last words, it made me realize, was that intentional or was that relational? I think that was relational. Why? Because no matter what got about to happen to him at the cross, it did not affect his relationship with his father. What happened at the cross did not discredit him to be the Son of God. And so therefore, he can always call to his father, Father. And his first word, Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they do. And the last one, Father, into your hands I commit my spirit. He was calling out to his father, declaring to everyone who heard that his identity is the Son of God and the Father is God, and he is the Son of God. He could have uttered rage and anger. He could have uttered, Father, execute them. Father, punish them. These are wicked people. Look at what they've done to me. Why? Because he was an innocent man. He could have uttered those words, and yet he didn't. He endured the cross, never affected by what was going on in him and in his life. He was so secure with his identity as the Son of God. And the only words that came out of his mouth was one of invocation. Father. Declaring authority over all these things that is going on right at that time. And second was one of prayer. Not curse, not condemnation, not punishment for the executioners. No, it was a prayer. And he said, Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they do. Isn't the manifesto of the kingdom of God is love? When he was teaching, he said, love your enemies. He just demonstrated a great example at the cross. He said, bless those who curse you. He just demonstrated that again. He said, do good to those who hate you. He just demonstrated that again at the cross. He said, pray for those who persecute you. And he just did that again. He did not utter punishment and condemnation, but one that is of prayer. He fulfilled what he taught. He lived and demonstrated what he taught to his disciples. When he said, love your enemies, he knew exactly what he was talking about. And so in our passage this morning, let's read 1 John 1, 5 to 10 and see what we can learn from this text this morning. 1, 5 to 10. It says, this is the message we have heard from him and declared to you. God is light. In him, there is no darkness at all. If we claim to have fellowship with him and yet walk in the darkness, we lie and do not live out the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus, his son, purifies us from all sin. If we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. If we claim we have not sinned, we make him out to be a liar and his word is not in us. This morning, I would like to just briefly share with you a little bit of background about this writing because it's important for us to understand why did John wrote this and who was listening and who was the recipient. Well, let me say this, that John was actually a very close friend to Jesus. He was part of the triad of the inner circle of the 12. And he is telling us that we can have that relationship and that intimacy with Jesus as well. Now, he witnessed that for himself, and he experienced that for himself. Why? Because he had a personal encounter with Jesus. And for those of us that believe in Jesus, in the same way, we can have that closeness and that intimate relationship with Jesus. The simplicity of this passage is striking because it's kind of almost like a comparison between Christ and the Antichrist, light versus darkness, truth versus falsehood, righteousness versus sin, love of the Father versus love of the world, and the Spirit of God versus the spirit of this world was really what John was trying to say here. Why did he do this? Well, because the audience and the recipient of this letter was actually living in a time where there were so many false teachers around them. There were so many false prophets that exist. And this false teaching that is trying to contaminate within the communities caused division within the church and within some of the believers. And John wanted to establish and say, I want to remind you that you need to hold on to your faith. You need to hold on to the message that we have proclaimed to you so that you will not be swayed by these false doctrines and false ideologies and false teachings. And I want you to be strong and to be able to stand and understand what is it that you believe. Amen? And so this morning I want to highlight three aspects that forgiveness reveals. Forgiveness at the cross reveals God's unconditional love. Forgiveness at the cross reveals that light and truth prevails. And forgiveness at the cross reveals God's faithfulness to forgive. When we talk about the unconditional love of God, actually John was so key in declaring this. He experienced and he touched and he's seen, he heard. This is what he said. We saw him, we heard him, and we touched him and we experienced him. And this is the message I want to tell you. And this is the message. He wrote it in John 3:16. He said, for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son, that whosoever believes in him will not perish, but will have eternal life. This verse is considered as the heart of the Bible. Many scholars consider this verse as the heart of the Bible. In fact, Martin Luther considers this as a gospel in miniature. It's almost like the gospel in a nutshell. Why? Because if you want to know what is the gospel, well, this is it in a nutshell. God so loved you and me that he gave his one and only son, that whosoever believes in him will not die, will not perish, but will have eternal life. So therefore, the cross is a demonstration of God's unconditional love. The cross reveals the love of God. We can never save ourselves. No matter what we do, no matter how good we are, we can never save ourselves. And this is the central theme of John's message. God wants to reach out to us through the cross. And that offer of love and forgiveness is open to all of us. And this is the unconditional love of God. Now, that is good news. That is good news. That's what makes Friday good. Good Friday. That's what makes it good, because we cannot save ourselves. There is absolutely nothing we can bring at the foot of the cross other than our brokenness, other than our sinfulness, other than our deep need of forgiveness. And when we do that, the Lord is going to meet us at the foot of the cross, and sin will be met by forgiveness. Hopelessness will be met by hope. Death will be met by life. Life is waiting for us. On Wednesday, we had our final session at Prison Alpha. One of the guys really struggled getting his head around understanding the love of God and the Christian faith. And another guy was so disengaged almost throughout the whole program. And yet, last Wednesday, both men surrendered their lives to the Lord by receiving Jesus as their Lord and Savior. And one of the encouraging things that happened was this, that when we prayed and when we led them in prayer, some of the men stood up, gathered around, laid their hands on these two guys. At that moment, these two guys experienced the unconditional love of God. Hallelujah. Have you received and experienced God's unconditional love this morning? If you haven't, I'd like to encourage you to open your heart and invite Jesus into your life today. Secondly, forgiveness at the cross reveals that light and truth prevails. He was basically talking about that, you know, God is light and in him there is no darkness at all. Ephesians 5:8 says, "For you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Live as children of light." John said that God is light and in him there is no darkness at all. What does that mean? It signifies God's absolute purity. It signifies God's holiness, goodness, knowledge, truth, and it signifies that he has no moral defect. That is what it signifies when we say God is light. And when this light, pure and holy, entered into our world, it changed the world forever. Only a pure and perfect sacrifice can atone our sin. Jesus is the perfect sacrifice. Why? Because of his purity and his holiness and his righteousness. And he died on our behalf so that we might receive forgiveness. Therefore, if we walk in the light as he is in the light, what did John say? We have fellowship with one another. Not just fellowship with one another, we have fellowship with God. And he said, went on, and the blood of Jesus will purify us from all sin. And so there is a challenge and a call for us that if you want to receive forgiveness, yes, it is free, but God is asking and challenging us to walk in the light. And when we do so, we will have fellowship with him and fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus will purify us from all our sin. That is good news again. That is good news. Light also symbolizes truth. It it pushes away darkness. It pushes away lies. It pushes away deception. Why? Because light signifies truth. And truth is not about facts and information. Truth is a person. John 14, 6, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me, according to Jesus. Why? Because light also signifies truth. And so if you're living in a world or in a lifestyle that is sort of like living in darkness and a lie and a deception, go into the light. Reach out for the light of Jesus. And when we do that, darkness will be pushed away. Deception will be pushed away. And truth will prevail. Hallelujah. And finally, at the cross, we can find forgiveness, and it reveals God's faithfulness to forgive. Verse 9 of our passage says, if we confess our sins to God, He is faithful, He is just, and He will forgive us from all our unrighteousness. He didn't say, if we confess our sins to God, He is faithful and just and will forgive us with some of our sins. John did not say, He will forgive us with a few of our sins. He said, He will forgive us from all our sins. You know, sometimes we think, I'm not really that sinful. I'm a good person. You know, I don't gossip and I don't gamble and I don't drink too much wine. I'm really good. But you know, if we're really honest and we stand before the Lord, have you violated the traffic? Have you reached out to your phone and got fined $400 or $1,000? Have you kind of violated the speed limit? Have you lied? Have you kind of like bearing false witness against other people? Have you done all of these things? And so that's why John was saying, if we claim that we don't have sin, we deceive ourselves. Because you and I, myself included, we sin. But the consolation is this. If we come before the Lord and confess our sins, this is what happens. Confession opens the door for us to be able to enter into the grace and the mercy of God. If you don't come to that point of confession and then eventually repentance and turn away, you will not be able to enter into the grace and the mercy of God. And so therefore, we have a choice to make whether you will confess or you will repent or not. But John was saying that if we do that, he said, God is faithful and He will forgive us and He will cleanse us and He will purify us from all our sins. This is the kind of forgiveness that God offers to all of us, and it is available to all, young and old. All we need to do is to acknowledge our sinfulness before the Lord. Why? Because the God that we're telling this to is faithful to forgive. And you don't even have to feel bad about it. Why? Because I believe that when we confess everything, it's not something that God doesn't already know. He knows. Why? Because He is an all-knowing God. And what He wants and what He desires is that we will come. We will come before Him and humble ourselves and surrender ourselves and acknowledge our sinfulness before the Lord in our thoughts, in our words, and even in our actions, in our motivations. And we lay it all at the foot of the cross. And the promise of God is this, that He will cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Another aspect of forgiveness is this, that the forgiveness that God offers also requires us to mirror that to others. It means that we are to offer and extend that forgiveness to other people. In fact, Jesus' prayer, when He was asked, Lord, teach us to pray, by His disciples, one of the things that He taught them is this, forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. What does it mean? Jesus is teaching them, and Jesus is teaching us that the kind of forgiveness that we receive needs to be mirrored. And the way we receive forgiveness freely, we should be able to release forgiveness to other people. And part of the problem of forgiveness is this, that we struggle humanly speaking, especially if the wound is really deep. We struggle to forgive people who wronged us, people who did bad things towards us, and we struggle to release forgiveness. And yet that is what God is asking us to do. Ephesians 4 verse 32 says, "Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other just as Christ forgave you." In other words, the measure that you have been forgiven should be the same measure that you extend forgiveness to other people. Forgive others just as Christ forgave you. Now, so when we struggle to forgive those who have done terrible things towards us, those who have wronged us, and I understand that sometimes, humanly speaking, it's really hard. We would struggle, and yet the Word of God challenges us to extend forgiveness. Graham mentioned the story of Corrie ten Boom, a Dutch family who kind of helped rescue Jewish people into their very home. And I actually had the opportunity of visiting Corrie ten Boom's house in Amsterdam, and the concealed wall that they made in the lounge room fit six people face-to-face standing. And sometimes those six people that they hide stay in that concealed wall for 6 to 8 hours. And if you read the biography of The Hiding Place, you will discover that the Ten Boom family have rescued approximately 800 Jews during the Holocaust. And yet they were caught, and so they were sent to concentration camp. And I have a clip to show you, but it is not working. It's not working? We will try.
It was some time ago that I was in Berlin. And there came a man to me and said, Mr. Boom, I am glad to see you. Don't you know me? And suddenly I saw that man that was one of the most cruel officers, guards, in the concentration camp. And that man said, I'm now a Christian. I have found the Lord Jesus. I read my Bible and I know that there is forgiveness for all the sins of the whole world, also for my sins. I have forgiveness for the cruelties I have done. But then I have asked God grace for an opportunity that I could ask one of my very victims forgiveness. And Fräulein ten Boom wants him here forgiven. Will you forgive me? And I could not. I remembered the suffering of my dying sister through him. But I was not able, I could not, I could only hate him. And then I took one of these beautiful texts, one of these boundless resources, Romans 5:5. The love of God is shed abroad into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who is given to us. And I said, thank you, Jesus, that you have brought into my heart God's love through the Holy Spirit who is given to me. And thank you, Father, that your love is stronger than my hatred and unforgiveness. That same moment, I was free. And I could say, brother, give me your hand. And I shook hands with him. And it was as if I felt God's love stream through my arms. You never touch so the ocean of God's love as that you forgive your enemies.
Jesus already paid the price for our sin. And the offer of forgiveness is yours today. Tim Keller said this, "You can't forgive somebody without absorbing the cost. Either that person pays for it or you do." And then he went on the cross, Jesus didn't just forgive us. He paid the cost himself. Amen.
We hope you enjoyed this podcast brought to you from Mount Pleasant Baptist Church. Our prayer is that what was said today inspires you and strengthens you in your faith. If you would like to talk to someone about what you've heard today, you can contact the team during office hours on the number you can find on our website at mounties.org.au. Thanks for joining us. We look forward to having your company again soon. God bless.